good to see you. Some of you might want to keep in mind, there'll be an insert and a bulletin coming soon, but in the month of July and August and maybe even into September, for those of you that really want more and you want to grow more, you want to get into the Word more, you want to understand the Scriptures more, I'm going to be starting a series. It'll be on Monday nights. We'll be able to provide child care. It'll probably be on Monday nights, but I'm just preparing you a little in advance. And it'll be on fully committed. It might be entitled total commitment, fully committed, wholly committed. I don't know, but it'll be on commitment. It'll be on what it means to be a dynamic Christian from the Word of God. What it means to follow Christ, and how do you do it? What does it take, and how do I become it? And it'll be for an hour, from 7:30 to 8:30. I say that tongue-in-cheek. You know me, but Lord willing, it'll be about an hour. For those of you that are even hungrier, we'll go three or four, like real Christians do. Okay? So I have to get it lined up, but there'll be an insert coming. So for those of you, a number of you have told us you've missed these celebrations. We understand that. We miss it too. For those of you that want a lot more, we'll be doing it. I'll be doing something for you if you want to come. It's up to you. I'm really excited about tonight, actually. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Mark. I've not been around here. It seems like I've people come up to them all going, "What happened to you?" And I said to one woman the other day, "Well, didn't you hear?" And I was very serious, of course. I love to tease. And she said, "No." I said, "Well, I resigned." And her face fell. And I said, "Yeah, this has been a horrible time in my life. I said, nobody wants me anymore. No one even knows me anymore. I'm just the shadow of what I used to be. So I resigned." So anyway, I'm just teasing. But it does. It's really good to see all of you and get to talk with all of you again. And, you know, there's been some things I want to share with you tonight. The Lord has been doing with me, and I'm going to share that with you tonight. But I think will be extremely beneficial to you. Some of you may go, "Gee, I'm glad Mark finally saw the light after tonight." Some of you may, the lights are going to come on tonight. I can assure you of that. Some of you are going to go, "This is too simplistic. It can't be that easy." And others of you are going to criticize it and wonder about it. But what I want to do now is have us bow our heads and ask the Lord to really give you a teachable, hungry heart. Because what we talk about tonight, I believe, will change each of our lives, as it has mine since I've been coming to understand some of the things I'm going to share with you tonight. The Christian life is a pilgrimage, you know. I've been walking with the Lord 17 years. That doesn't mean you stop growing. Just in case any of you wonder about this, some of you with different backgrounds who have come as a Christian to this church, pastors aren't perfect. I know that many of you have gone to churches, and I say this kindly, but you've been to churches where pastors appear to be very perfect and very up on a pedestal. Well, we're not. And so when we come down off that pedestal, I hope you understand we're human just like you are. We're growing in our walk with God. And if it bothers you that I have to grow in these things that I'm going to share with you tonight, you might want to leave now. But I think for most of you, it's going to help you and going to encourage you. But I just want you to understand that about your pastors. We're not like God yet. None of us are. We're just growing to understand Him more and learn more. And I think if we take that attitude, every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest among us, God can do so much in our lives, because to Him we're all just children. And some of us are a little older children, but we're all children. We're just passing on the tidbits that He gives to us as we go along in our Christian life. And I also believe this will really feed you tonight and strengthen your soul, and is going to help many of you who I know are going through some very difficult things as you approach life. It's going to give you a whole new way, a whole new power, a whole new understanding to approach life. By the way, you could change the title. I should have changed it before, but I did not. We're going to entitle this Unleashing the Person Within, not the Power Within, but you'll understand why I changed that as we get on tonight. So let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless us tonight, because it's really Him who's got to speak to us. He's really why we're here. We didn't come just to sing songs and clap hands. We came because of Him, to do it for Him and to hear from Him. And after all, we're just channels for His Spirit. He wants to talk with us tonight. So let's pray. Lord, we thank You so much tonight for Your goodness. We thank You, Lord, for Your grace to our lives. We thank You for Your blessing in our lives. We thank You, Lord, for the comfort that You give to us. We thank You for the light that You give to us. We thank You for the strength and the grace that You send our way. For whatever it is that we face, You never abandon us. You never leave us. I thank You, Lord, tonight that You don't allow anything to come into our lives that You didn't hand pick. That didn't first have to get Your stamp of approval. Okay, that's okay. We'll let that happen. I'll build them in that. I won't desert them. And I don't know, Lord, what's going on in each person's life here tonight, but if it's the typical Christian life, well, it's hard. There are trials, there are tribulations, but there's also you in our lives. There's also the peace that passes understanding that you've given to us. Help us tonight, Lord. I just believe this era tonight, I know it has been radically affecting my own thinking, my own daily life, and I believe, Lord, that it is really one of the key ingredients to our entire Christian life, to living the life that you really intended for us to have, but seems to elude us at every turn. I ask you, Lord Jesus, speak to us. We ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's see, one brief thing here I want to tell you beforehand that you can remember in prayer. I wasn't in all the services on Friday and Sunday, so I don't know if Brent told you this or not, but Brent left for Russia this morning. He's 16 hours, he's driving, as far as I know, he's still flying. So he gets a lot of cramps on the plane, being so tall and muscular as he is. He's riding coach to Frankfurt, and so you could pray for him. You could pray for the guys that he's with. They're going there sort of on a fact-finding mission, kind of on a broadening horizon mission. They're going there to strengthen and encourage some other Christians there and hopefully have opportunities to share their faith and just to get a greater grasp of what's going on for the world at different times. All the pastoral staff are going to be doing things like this to keep us in touch with the rest of the world that's out there, because there is more than just the Twin Cities, and it always helps to get the bigger picture. But for those of you that have never traveled overseas, and especially to some of the countries he's going to, it's a little scary. Mary out there would covet your prayers because she'd like her husband back. She'd rather not have him be a hostage for the next 20 years or however long. All her fears are being realized. The Soviet Union, what once was, has become a very lawless place. It's a very crazy place. So pray for him, all right? Pray for him for the next 15 days. Really remember to pray for Brent while he's over there. God would really use him, and he's over there with about, I think, six other gentlemen, pastors that are traveling and going to be talking to people in a variety of places, and I don't even know all of them. So pray for them. I just wanted to mention that to you. I figured if I prayed it in my prayer and then didn't say anything, you'd all go, geez, where'd he go? What's going on? But maybe you already know. I want to share with you some things tonight that have, without question, I would say the last 2 weeks, God has been working for years to bring me to a place in just the last 2 weeks that he's been trying for a long time in my own Christian life. You know, there are times in each of our lives, as Brent has shown us before, that you get those rhemas from God. Rhema means a personal word from God to your heart. I don't mean a voice in the woodwork. That's not what we mean by that in this church, by the way, just so you know that. There are churches who mean that. That's fine. That's not what we mean. But we mean that God takes the scripture, and all of a sudden, for the first time in your life, it opens up deeper and fresher and in a way that becomes very personal to you, more than just a biblical truth. It becomes a life-changing principle in your life. And I know the Lord's been trying to get this through to me for years and years and years and years. And it's been a process. I went out to a leadership training for college students in Myrtle Beach with my family. And I was asked to share on the first night, I was asked to share on the Holy Spirit. And I wasn't too excited about that, to be real honest. Not that it's bad to share the Holy Spirit, I just never thought about it a whole lot. But they're going through this book on the Holy Spirit this summer, and so they wanted to kind of have share on it. So I said, oh, okay, I'll do that. So I was sharing on the Holy Spirit, and I haven't been able to get it off my mind since. And then as well, there's been some things that God's been trying to do in my life. And a few weeks ago, my wife and I had one of those, you know, major sit-down type talks. It's very serious talks. And not like, I'm going to leave you, you're going to leave me kind of talks. But just very serious, heart-to-heart, gut-wrenching, emotional, honesty kind of a talk. And my wife had some things she wanted to share with me, pour out to me, talk to me about. As I was sitting there listening for the hours that we talked, I really began to realize there were some deep things that God wanted to do in some little areas. I consider them little areas of my life. But what had happened was that in our relationship, the little areas had become something very big. They weren't things that maybe I considered very big, but they had become very big, like the weather. The weather. Now, I've lived here for 6 years and 6 months and 23 days. And when I first moved here, I really enjoyed Minnesota. In fact, I really enjoyed it up until last summer. And I think the main reason I started not enjoying it is because I bought a mountain bike. And for the first time in my life, got a hobby. And so I began to become very conscious every day that I wanted to get out instead of riding the stationary bike in my basement. I wanted to get out and do a real man sport. And of course, it was very seldom did I get that chance. It was wet. It was cold. It was yuck. It was, you know, all around rotten. So, of course, you know, you always have great expectations for the next year. But, of course, I don't need to say much more. So then my wife and I, we get ready to go to this trip to Myrtle Beach. Now, I have never been on a 24-hour trip in my life in a car, and let alone with a wife and four children in a van. So, and I tend to fall asleep when I drive, but I also tend to be one of those dads who wants to do all the driving. Part of it maybe because I have a controlling personality. Part of it maybe because I grew up chauvinistic. Part of it may be because we've been in two accidents of both of them when my wife was driving. Now I've been in accidents too, but only when I was by myself. Okay? So, she's not a bad driver. Actually, she's a very good driver. It's just, you know, all these things go through my mind. And then it comes down to I just think it's the man's job and how to do it. I ought to be the one who, because it's taxing and it's long and it's not always that much fun. And besides, she's better at entertaining the children than I am. So, these are all very good reasons, as you understand. So we'll leave Sunday Memorial Weekend, the Sunday morning at 6 in the morning, so we get everything's ready, the van is washed, it's filled up, I had the air conditioner recharged, checked out, everything. Boy, I'm more organized than most of you think. And everything's ready to go, see? And my wife's extraordinarily organized. So we're in the van, and we take off, and of course, I had already prepared myself there's going to be at least 50 potty breaks. Just the first day alone, because I got two daughters, and they always think they got to go to the bathroom. This is the truth. This is not, it's not nearly as difficult for my sons as my daughters. So, and I'm nothing against daughters. I love them. But they just have to go to the bathroom. So we stop up. No problem. No problem. For 1,350 miles, we drove in the rain. For 1,350 miles, it rained nonstop. It rained here. It rained in Chicago through all those miserable tolls. It rained in Indiana. It rained in Ohio. It rained in Kentucky. It rained in Tennessee. And that night, at 10 o'clock, we got to Knoxville. Went to bed, got a wonderful deal, but I was trusting God. I was trying, hanging in there. We wake up in the morning, it was raining. We got into the van. It was raining. We drive all the way to Myrtle Beach. Well, almost to Myrtle Beach, 2 hours from Myrtle Beach. Stops raining. The sun comes out. The air conditioner stops working. Kind of humid, sticky, you know, but we made it. We got there. Wake up the next morning, Tuesday. It rained all day. Sun in the front, all that stuff, you know, it rained. It rained all day Wednesday. But we just kept our stiff upper lip, trusting God. And Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, it's 90 degrees and sun. Then we came back through the mountains. I had the air conditioner worked on twice. They never got it fixed. And it went off and on the way home. But, you know, it was okay. It was all right. I'd say 98% of the trip was great. There was that 2% that was filled with stress at different times. And usually it was because of my reaction to whatever. So then we come back, and of course we come back to balmy, tropical Minnesota. So, because weather is so bad, and I tend to be a vocal person, I tend to comment on it every day. Now, not all the time every day, but maybe at least once a day, I make my feelings known. As we're driving down the highway, and I'm looking out the sky, out the window and thinking, this is unbelievable, this is pathetic. Is there a God who cares? I was telling these young people out at the LT, I said, you know, you think you struggle in your faith? What about being a pastor thinking God didn't even care enough to make miserable clouds disappear so for the first vacation you take with your family, it could be nice? That's pretty hard to wrestle with. I've been praying and praying for this. So anyway, these kind of things were going on in my mind, and God was working on my heart. And there was other things like, you know, when pop spills all over the carpet or all over the upholstery because someone wasn't being real careful. You know, it tends to put you on edge a little bit. For some of us, maybe it tends to put us more than just on edge. I don't know. But anyway, these little things that come into our life, you know. I have realized that in the 17 years that I've known the Lord, God has taken my wife and I through some unbelievably difficult things. And through most of them, we've gone through it, you know, with flying colors, with the big things. I mean, not with perfect colors, just we made it and God taught us and we kept growing. And usually I tend to face big things with faith and et cetera, because maybe I know there's just no other way. If we don't trust God, we're dead, you know, or I'm in a big mess. I don't know. But I was sharing with these college students about power. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because I'm leading up to something. I want to show you something. I'm sharing this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I mean, 2 Corinthians 2. Is it 2 Corinthians 2? Maybe I copied it down wrong. I have a habit of doing that too. Well, it's not 2 Corinthians 2. My goodness, this is it's 1 Corinthians 2. See? Isn't it wonderful to make mistakes? Look like an idiot? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3. I'm mixing y'all up, but you're going to know your Bible by the time I'm done with you. I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Now, this is the Apostle Paul talking. He's the most extraordinary guy, in my opinion, you know, biblically, that ever lived as a Christian. He was just a phenomenal guy. His life was a nightmare, and he was an amazing man of faith. But he says to the Corinthians, Paul lets his guard down. Paul does this a lot. If you learn to look for these things, you'll find Paul doing this a lot in the New Testament. But you have to learn how to find them. This is one of those times Paul lets down his guard. He says later in Corinthians, I spoke frankly to you, O Corinthians. I did not withhold myself. Now you in return speak frankly to me. Talk honestly. Let's be honest. He says, I had fear. I was weak. And I was trembling. That might mean his fear was so compelling that he shook. I don't know for sure what it means. But it could mean that. He said, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith may not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Now, I've thought about this passage a lot. Whenever I speak, I think of this passage because I think it's so important that the power of God is evident. It's so important that it is not wise and persuasive words, but it is God speaking to men and women's hearts. That God's anointing is coming through and on and on and on. But what I seldom thought about, in all honesty, was God's anointing and power coming in my life when the pop spilled in the van. What I seldom really consciously thought about at times in this way was the life message that every day I am sending to four children and my wife. Now, so no one takes me wrong. I'm not saying that I don't think spiritual things and say spiritual things to my family and live a Christian life. I'm just saying that there were things I knew God wanted to take me deeper in. When Paul talks about power here, you know the first thing that comes to our mind? The first thing that comes to our mind is that he did miracles when he was with the Corinthians. And I just want to tell you right now, that's not what he's talking about. Paul is not talking about miracles because he would have said, I came to you with miracles. What he's saying is, I was weak, I was afraid, I was like any other human being. But what God did was he demonstrated through me the Spirit's power in the way that I lived among you. In the way that I carried myself among you. You saw a demonstration of power. If you go to Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says this, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Always understand in the New Testament, power and the Holy Spirit are synonymous. There is no power without the indwelling Holy Spirit. They are the same. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness. It doesn't say, and you will do miracles. It doesn't say you'll raise the dead. It doesn't say you heal the sick. It simply says you're going to need awesome power to be a witness to the world of Jesus Christ. Then if you go to a verse I want to show you in Ephesians 1:8, Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you might know the hope of your calling, that you might know how incredibly great his power is in us who believe. It is like the mighty power of his strength which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in present age, but also in the one to come. All right? The power we're talking about here is phenomenal power. All right? It's the kind of power that enables us to do things that are supernatural and not natural. It enables us to break habits in a day. It enables us to bring change into our life at any given moment. Because this is the kind of power that took a dead Savior with all the sin of the world on him. And the Bible says the soul that sins shall surely die. That meant the Lord. And changed the parameters of the spiritual realm. And took him out of the tomb, exploded him out, and rose him from the dead, and put him up in heaven, and seated him over all things. Now we think, you know, for God that's easy. We think, yeah, I just did it. Well, it might be for God, but those kind of things aren't for you and I. We need some extraordinary power to do that. We need some amazing power to do that. Turn to 1 Timothy 1 and verse 7. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 7. It's 2 Timothy, see? 2 Timothy. Keeping you on your toes. Verse 1, or chapter 1, 7. It says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." Now, in your Bibles, that spirit is a small letter. I don't know why they put it a small letter. Usually they put it a small letter because they think that word is of the spirit of the man, not the Holy Spirit. But I think this is synonymous myself with the Holy Spirit. I think it's the Holy Spirit who has the power of love. The Bible says the love of Christ has been shed abroad in our hearts through the Spirit whom He gave us. And the power of love and the power of power and the power of self-discipline all comes from God. We do not possess that in and of ourselves. All right? So all of these things, all these verses, I'm sure many of us in this room know. We've heard before, we've read them, we may have even memorized them. And I have too. You know what the problem is? The problem is, how do they become a reality in our life? And I don't mean just once in a while. I mean a daily reality of the supernatural power of God in my life. So that it makes me happy all the time, peaceful all the time, joyful all the time, patient all the time, self-controlled all the time, or the majority of my life. Because we still have the human factor. Well, there were certain areas in my life that, quite frankly, those were always very challenging in. So what I would do is I'd try to become a better Christian. I'd try really hard. I put a lot of effort into my Christian life. A lot of work. A lot of strain. A lot of sweat. A lot of agonizing prayer. And crying out to God, "God, change me. God, change me. God, change me. Help me." And I cannot tell you, I mean this, I cannot tell how many times, after our prayer session like that of seeking the face of God, being in the very presence of God, I would go home, and one thing would happen, and I'd lose my cool. Has anyone ever had that happen? Am I the only one? And you're wondering, "Oh, what just happened, God? I just prayed, and now I was in the very presence of God. What happened between the van ride home and here?" I know, it must be the woman you gave me is the toughest person the world live with, and or the family I've got, or the circumstance I've got, that's it. They're the worst that could possibly be. Turn to John 14 for a moment. I want to show you something. Okay, just keep following me here because this is all going to make more and more sense as we go along. John 14. And I know it's John 14, so go to John 14. Okay? Okay, verse 15. Verse 15. Okay. "If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." Now they're talking about the Holy Spirit. "The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him or knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live on that day. You will realize that I'm in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to them. Then Judas said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he'll obey my teaching. My Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me, as I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. And he'll remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." I had to admit this to myself, actually, that much of my Christian life has been focused on the Father and the Son. Very little of my Christian life has been focused intently on the Spirit. I would even think of the Spirit as Jesus with me. I hardly even give the Holy Spirit his credit. I mean, I knew it was there. I knew he was there. I knew he lived in me. But I thought a lot about the Lord, and I thought a lot about grace, and I thought a lot about God the Father, and all those things are very, very important. They're very important. But I've been meditating on this, and I thought, you know, it's the Spirit who lives in me, the Holy Spirit who's in me. So why was he given to me? Well, I know he's been given to me to comfort me. I know that. Because he has, and I've read it. I know he's given me to open the Word to me. The Bible says we've been given the mind of Christ, here connected with the Spirit and the mind, so that we might know the things freely given to us by God. It says that in Corinthians. So, yeah, the Lord's opened his Word to me. But there's been some areas in my life that, if I were to be honest, I've never really consistently experienced the Spirit's power. I've never really experienced the Holy Spirit simply taking over and living his life through me. I have when I've taught. I have in certain situations, and I have in certain instances at home. But home is where I was really thinking about, as God was speaking to me in these things. Now go to Galatians, all right? Let me show you some thoughts here in Galatians. Galatians, we're going to go to 5 first and then back to 3, and I want to show you a few things here. That really, God just really touched my heart and has been ministering to me, and really has made significant change in my life. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, every one of you here tonight, I trust you know Christ, and you'll be able to understand what I mean to get it. If you don't, just bear patiently, and as you go on in your pilgrimage to Christ, some of this will make more and more sense. When we come to the Lord, there are certain things, you know, in our lives that seem to almost instantaneously change. There are other things in our life that just seem to, quite frankly, be the plague of our life. They seem to haunt us, or rear their ugly head, or show themselves back again and again and again. And every one of us knows what ours is, whether it's our secret sin or our regular stumbling block. When we came to Christ, we got eternal life. We got forgiven. We came into a personal relationship with God. And we got the Holy Spirit. But in all honesty, I've come to believe in the last month that the Holy Spirit is the most misunderstood person in the Bible, in the Trinity. And that we tend to live our Christian lives mostly through and with the power of the flesh. Well-intentioned flesh. The best flesh we could put forward. But nonetheless, in the flesh. And we try really hard, and we strain really hard, and we struggle really hard. And I've been doing some heavy pondering about this, because if you go to the next verse, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit," doesn't say the acts of the Spirit. Notice that the flesh has to work. It's the acts of the sinful nature, not the fruits of the sinful nature. The Spirit, this all comes naturally. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I began to think about that. Now I began to think this. I began to think, Lord, you know, I've been trying for 17 years really, really hard to become a more patient guy. I really have. Sometimes, Lord, it's the most difficult thing in my life. I've been trying so hard. And you know, there have been some changes in my life. That honestly, there have. There have been some changes. And there's been what I would consider growth and progress in my life. But when I started thinking about this, I thought, you know, Lord, what I'd really like is I just like to be patient all the time. What I'd really like, Lord, is to really experience some power in my life. What I would really like is that life, I would be able to just rise above it on a consistent basis. So I started thinking about these things, and I started thinking about Galatians 2:20. Says, I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. And I thought about that. I thought, you know, what God really intended was that no matter what comes our way, that we would learn how to live with vigilant faith so that we'd allow the Holy Spirit to show Himself in our life and we'd relax and quit struggling. And I really mean this. When I was a young Christian, I used to hear people say some of these things, and I think, oh, yeah, it's probably... The Christian life's work, and it's sweat, and it's toil. And there is a certain amount of that. There is, and we could teach on that, and it would be correct. But you know what I've discovered in the last few weeks? I've discovered that by meditating on the Holy Spirit, and instead of thinking of some nebulous power, and consciously realizing there is a divine person inside of me. It's not me. Divinity lives inside of you and I. The God of the universe, the Holy Spirit, lives in you and me. I'm not patient, but He is. See, the Christian life is a constant lesson in humility. You don't grow in patience. You learn how to let the Holy Spirit be patient in you and through you. You don't grow in love. You learn how to get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit love others through you, and you agree with Him. And you go along with Him. I tell you, it's just, after this talk my wife and I had, I stayed up after, and I began really thinking about these things, and I thought, you know, Lord, I really believe it's going to be a turning point. Another, and there's been many in my life, the turning point in my life. Because there are things as a dad that I really desperately wanted to be different. There are things as a husband I wanted to be different, Lord. Things as a person. But boy, Lord, it just seems like, you know, when it's all said and done, I just hit my head against the wall more than I don't. And it's frustrating, and it's been hard. The Lord brought these verses to my mind and just simply said to me, Mark, how about you quit trying? I said, Lord, what do you mean? Why don't you have it? You quit trying. So He gave me this verse in Galatians. Just flip back to chapter 3. So I'm going to put my name in here. You can put your name in here. If you want, if you don't feel this way, that's fine. O foolish Mark, who has bewitched you? Who has tricked you? Before whose very eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you, Mark. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human struggle? Have you not suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you do things, that's what observe the law means, or because you believe what you heard? Well, you know, I've read these things. I've taught on these things before. And in certain areas of my life, I've actualized these things in my life. But what we're talking about now was my nemesis, my alter ego. What we're talking about now are the habits in my life that I have wanted to be rid of on a regular basis for a long, long time. I've fought against them, struggled. And you know, God has used all those things, and he does in our life. I'm not saying God doesn't use them. What happened was this. I asked myself, what did I do to get Jesus to begin with? Simple question, but I asked, what did I do? Did I fall on my face? Did I cry a lot? Did I beg and plead for God to just enter in my heart? Did I wait a week? Did I go through a period of mourning and fasting? I thought, I didn't do any of that. All I did was, and I remember the night, on one given specific night, I decided in the depth of my heart to believe what I was told, and it changed my life. And I thought, what an idiot, Mark. Here, it's right in front of you. I thought to myself, you know, the weather shouldn't be bothering me. The honest to God truth is, weather shouldn't bother me at all. It shouldn't bother me. It should not bother me. Pop being spilled on the carpet shouldn't bother me. That is, it shouldn't bother a Holy Spirit-filled person. It definitely bothers the flesh. Okay? Follow what I'm saying? But I'm talking about a new standard. I'm thinking, you know, none of these things should bother me. People get upset at me, shouldn't bother me. I'm not saying that there won't be emotional pain. Don't take me wrong here. I'm not saying that the flesh isn't going to be going while the Spirit's trying to take over. But I'm just saying that I'm tired of trying to count to 10. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm saying I'm tired of walking into the other room biting down on my lip. I want to see some power in my life. I want to find out, God, if this stuff's really true. So you know what? I quit. It's your Holy Spirit's job. This is His fruit, not mine. So I'm waking up to... In fact, I didn't wake up. I just said right now, Lord, thank you for the rain. You see, what does the Bible say? It says, do all things without grumbling or complaining. Well, that's always been a challenging one for me. You know what it says? Rejoice always, and in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Well, that's always been a challenging one for me. As I'm sure it's been for you. See, I'm sure I'm talking to the right audience, because we all live this human experience together. But you know what began to dawn on me? None of this is hard for the Holy Spirit. None of it. Patience isn't hard for the Holy Spirit. Joy is not hard for the Holy Spirit. Thankfulness is not hard for the Holy Spirit. Self-control is not hard for the Holy Spirit. All of these things come natural to Him, so maybe I should just allow Him to start supernaturally living through me. So that's what I did. The last 14 days have been different than any 14 days previous in my life. They've been different in my view of them. They've been different in my approach to them. They've been different in just simply thinking, you know, Lord, Holy Spirit, you're in me. You're in me. So the other day when I found my wife's earrings and put them in her hand, and 3 seconds later she couldn't find it because she'd already lost it. And normally, except on a good day, normally I might have said something, maybe just a little jab, or said, you know, first it was your glasses, and it's your earring. Maybe, we should just magnetize you or something. Or when, you know, my wife would be the first one to say, I don't make those comments all the time. What I'm trying to do somehow is help you understand that, that many of us can say cutting things or do cutting things and we've wanted so bad to change. And you know what happened at that very moment? I thought, you know, Holy Spirit, you're in me. And I just said, hey, Kathy, that's all right. Well, you know, we'll find it. Well, I'll look around. I walked away. 2 days later, there it was, in a little dirt pile on the pavement. I'm sure the car had driven over it a couple times. but it wasn't flattened. It looked just fine. I picked it up without any smug remark or kind of like, well, look what I found. I just kind of said, hey, honey, here's your earring. When someone made some comment to me about some particular thing, or if I just tell you how my days go sometimes, they just literally go from one thing to the next nonstop, usually from sunup to the time I go to bed at night. It's just literally a nonstop thing. Whether it's my kids going to karate on Mondays now, involves 4 hours, or their paper out, or phone calls, or doing this, or preparing for that. I basically just get up and we go all day, and then I go to bed. And I was just thinking of all these different things, and the bottle that got thrown down the steps tonight of aloe vera that went all over the floor, and normally would have been, all right, who threw this down the steps? Don't you realize this stuff now, you know, you ruined it? Instead of a mini lecture, it's like, that's all right. Let's just pick it up, clean it up. I'm starting to go, yeah, this is, it's almost like an out-of-body experience. You kind of step back and go, God, you're a beautiful person. That's really amazing. Is that really me? No, it's not really me. That's not me. I want to tell you right now, that's not me. I didn't grow into this. That stuff aggravates me. It makes me very mad. It frustrates me when people do stupid things. It frustrates me. Okay? And what I've done is I've tried very hard to grow in not being frustrated or showing it. But I realized God wanted to take me much deeper. He wanted to make me just like Him. So I just wasn't frustrated. In fact, I just simply responded with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. To my children, to my small one, to my little one, to my oldest one, to every person that I meet in my day. That's what God wants in my life. That's His standard in my life. And the only way it's possible is if we learn to unleash the Holy Spirit and let Him go to town through us. And we quit worrying. And we quit striving and struggling so hard to become such good Christians. What we need to learn to do, and this is where the effort comes involved. This is where the effort, what did Jesus say? What is the work of Him who sent me? That you believe. Jesus says that in the Gospels. This is my work. This is the work of God, that you believe. Now, that's where the struggle comes, the battle of faith. The fight of faith. And I'd be the first one to admit that chances are I had to go through the last 17 years just to get to where I am today. No doubt of that in my mind. No doubt of that in my mind. That I'm right on course with what God wants and He's doing in my life. And that I had to get there to understand this today. But I'll tell you, I want you to think about your eating habits. I want you to think about your speech. I want you to think about your temper. I want you to think about your love towards others. I want you to think about your faithfulness. Some of you have been trying to be diligent and get up in the morning for years. So you know what we do? We come up with plans. I'm just going to hit right to the core and be gut honest with you. We come up with plans. We try to actualize our life. We kind of try to come up with this little program. We try to be more organized. We try to be more whatever. And I'm telling you right now that all those things may be important and they may be helpful. I'm not saying that. We try to set little goals for ourselves when all of it's possible with the Holy Spirit. All of it is possible with the Holy Spirit. It is possible to become self-controlled tonight. It is possible to become faithful tonight because the Holy Spirit is in you. Just like when Jesus, with power, made someone walk again right on the spot, they didn't kind of grow into walking. You ever thought about that? They just didn't kind of hobble on their knees and then walk like this for 3 weeks. And then train their legs to go like this. You know what the beauty of Jesus is? Is that He made them whole instantaneously. And what I think God wants to help us understand is that the Holy Spirit lives in us to empower us to act and to behave in ways that we are not capable of doing. He is. And we need to start thinking more of Him and less of us. We need to start focusing more on what He can do and less on what we can't do. You see, you never sweat fruit. Apple trees don't sweat to be fruitful. They just take in the sun, they take in the rain, their roots go down, and boom, fruit comes on the branch. What did Jesus tell us? He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you want and it'll be done for you. I can do it. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, that's always been this mystery passage in the Bible to so many people. It's really not a mystery. What it's saying is, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Let the Spirit ooze out of you. Let the Holy Spirit live His life through you. You may think, well, you know, I'm not normally a courageous person. I'm not normally a friendly person. That's okay. You don't have to be. You don't have to be. The Holy Spirit is. So here's what you do. Here's how you do. Now, I know some of you are going to go, this is so mystical, Mark. Now, I can just explain it the best way I know how to explain it to you. You simply do this. You act towards the person the way you know the Holy Spirit can act. You step out in faith. Okay, here's what you do. It always involves faith. It's like everything else in the Bible. Remember when the Levites were going to go across the Jordan River and it was at its flood stage? Now, some of you understand what a flood is if you've been down to our rivers. The Jordan River, it was swelling. It was just roaring. There was cattle flowing down the river. And there was Jewish people flowing down the river. And there was trees flowing down the river. And it was just, it was a rushing river. So God told them this. And so the priest See, here, this is a little scary. They were carrying the ark on their shoulder, so it's a little hard to keep their balance. And if you've ever been near Whitewater Rapids, you understand how much guts it would take to hold something with one hand and it weighs a few hundred pounds and step into water. But God told them that the minute the soles of your feet touch the water will part and you'll walk on dry land. Now, if you're like me, you stand sort of on the edge. So just part it, Lord. Just okay, I'll be patient. Just give me the power. Just I want to start feeling this, Lord. Just part the water, Lord, and I'll walk. No, that ain't the deal. That ain't the deal. The deal is somebody's going to yell and scream at your face. And now you're facing Whitewater Rapids, and your emotions are swelling up inside of you. And you go, well, you know, I'm really sorry that I offended you. Is there anything I could do to make it right? And you go, God, it's pretty neat. That wasn't me. I want to smack him in the face. That's amazing. It worked. My gosh. You know, my wife said something to me the other day. I said, well, really, sweetheart, do you really feel that? Well, gladly, I'll go down and change. Oh, that's what I mean, Lord. It worked. I didn't argue with you and say what my opinion was. I just, well, that's fine, sweetheart. That's not normally how I talk. Because I've always thought that's a little feminine, quite frankly. I've always thought that lacks the macho edge of life. Those aren't easy words for me to spit out. I find other ways to say them. I try to be gracious, but I don't kind of go, well, you know, honey, if that's what you think, well, that's fine with me. I'll really take that to heart. No, that's the Holy Spirit. And you'll find that throughout your day, your life is basically a minefield. Some of them explode in your face. Usually the reason they explode in your face is because you jump on them. You jump on them, see in the flesh. And whenever you do that, ooh, bad things happen. They do. Arms get blown off. Legs get blown off. Relationships end for hours, days, weeks sometimes. But the thing about this I've discovered is that no temptation has befallen man. But what is common to me, that God will not with the temptation also make a way of escape. In other words, I have discovered, and I've known this, of course, for a long time, that every landmine I confront usually was never a hidden one. You ever notice that? They're never hidden. You always see him coming. Everything's ever happened in my life, I've seen it coming. I usually never got hit. Now, some things I did. But many of them in relationships or with my children, I have time to respond, let the Holy Spirit just take over, and it's beautiful. And it's like, you know, many of you know, if you're parents, nothing would be more taxing than your children. When you're stressed, I'm going to do a series in October. For those of you who are more in this, called Living Under Pressure. And we're going to talk about really how to bring this to your life in all types of situations. But I'm giving you this now because I feel as Christians, we really need to start grasping this more. That whatever situation we get into, be it, and I was thinking this the other day, my air conditioner, I was thinking, well, Lord, thank you. Thank you. This car has served us really well. And you know, even though Ford boasts about their quality, nobody's perfect. But you know, I'm going to tell you something. Usually what we do is we try positive thinking. See, this is what you've got to understand what I'm saying. Usually what we do is we start counting our blessings. That's not what I'm talking about. Usually we'll go, well, at least I didn't get my head blown off. Well, at least we still got $5. Well, at least we're not starving. No, that's not what I mean. I mean facing that God-awful, sickening situation head on, you look it right in the eye and you say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. You know what you're doing, Lord. Thank you for working in my life. Thank you, you're working out things in my life. I'm talking about living life so that we come to a place in our life that nothing robs us of our joy. That's what I'm talking about. And I'll tell you something. I have read biography after biography of men and women who have lived like I'm telling you tonight. I know that we want to make excuses for it, and I do too. But if some of you get a chance to read the biography of Hudson Taylor, it'll blow your mind. You think your life is hard? You think your life is difficult? He went to China against all the sound advice of doctors who told him you're way too sickly to go to that climate. He went. He suffered for years. He got married. Well, getting married was a massive trial because all the missionary societies and the big people who were kind of the guardians of this gal that he was in love with and she in love with him, hated him. They thought he was a wacko, insane idiot. He had everybody against him in a foreign land. And in those days, you didn't pick up the phone and reach out and touch someone who really loved you. Your mail took about 7 months to get one way across the ocean. Then even another 7 months. So your life could have radically changed by then. He marries this gal. Finally, God works and they have some children. And then she gets real sick and she dies. Then the daughter he's closest to, his oldest, then she dies. Hudson, of course, like any human being, and like God himself, we grieve. But he gets up that very same day in the middle of a riot where everyone's trying to kill him, and he goes out and tries to calm the crowd. And he begins sharing with them about Christ. And some of you may have heard of Hudson Taylor's book called Hudson Taylor's Greatest Secret. It's really what I'm telling you right now. Is that the Holy Spirit is in us for a reason. He's in us to give us the power to be and act in ways that are impossible any other way. We don't talk ourselves into it. We don't finally get up enough courage for it. We simply believe it. We step out as though, okay, God, you're backing me here. It's kind of like going into a fight with Hulk Hogan or Riddick Bowe. Now, no one in their right mind, my side, is going to do that. No one in their right mind would do it, but David did. Have you ever thought about that? Is David so arrogant, such an arrogant little weasel? That's what his brothers say in the Living Bible. It says, you arrogant little weasel. Who do you think you are? Because that's what you'd think. David was about 17 years old, and Goliath was 9 foot tall. So, where do you get the gall telling us you're going to go out and conquer the one guy that all the rest of the armies have been afraid of for weeks now? David says, look, he's taunting God. He's taunting God, and you know what? Well, last time I was guarding the sheep, there was a bear. But I knew God was in my corner, and when I threw my right punch, I knew actually it was going to be God's punch. That's what David knew. And the bear was dead. And he said, well, you know, there was another time there was a lion, but I remembered, it's not me guarding these sheep, it's God. God's in me. And he went out and he grabbed the lion and he killed him. And so now it came to this public moment, and it was Goliath. Same thing was true. It wasn't David who killed Goliath. It was God, through David, who killed Goliath. David was only the channel for the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And David, it says, ran to the battle. He didn't cower. He just ran right out there, took his little old sling. Have you ever tried to throw a sling when you're running? You know God had to direct the stone. And besides, Goliath had a helmet on him that came right to here. Do you know how good of a shot you'd have to be running to sink the stone into his forehead here? It was God. David knew that all along. And he says in Psalms, by my God, I can run through a troop. By my God, I can leap a wall. By my God. You read about David's mighty men. One guy killed 1,000 Philistines by himself in one day. Is that humanly possible? Of course not. What happens is, only you don't see it like this. And it's like what you see on the, that sword guy. What was that movie you went to see, Doug, about that sword guy? You know, that medieval sword guy who's immortal unless you cut his head off? Highlander. That's what happens. All of a sudden, power comes, only you don't see it. And this guy, this is the truth. I'm telling you, the unchurched world visualizes better than most Christians what God can really do in your life, only they do it better. Of course, they don't live it. They just pretend it. But what I'm telling you is very real. And David, and God was in this guy, and in one day, do you know the strength that it would take to kill 1,000 warrior men in one day by yourself? One guy, it says, that's a sword, froze to his hand. He had gripped it so long, his human cell, that his hand was stayed around it. You know why he did it? How he did it? Was God just inside of him going, ah, yeah. It was God. Okay? You understand? It was God. I'm serious about this. This is not guys who are highly trained. These are not great martial artists. They were not guys who just had extraordinary ability. They were men who understood what faith could do in God when God was in them. And they did extraordinary things. Now, what I'm saying to you is I believe it takes an extraordinary power, and it is an extraordinary thing for you to be patient with your three-year-old. In fact, it takes more extraordinary power to do that than to go punch someone in the head. It takes more extraordinary power for you and your job when you have been cussed at, when you have been harassed, when you have been abused, when people have said all kinds of vile things to you, to continue praying for them, responding to them, serving them, that they might come to know the Savior. My friend, that takes power, not good training. That takes the ever-present God unleashing Himself in you. You know what it says of Stephen, the first martyr? It says he was a man full of power and the Holy Ghost. He must have been to stand in front of all these people who hated him. And it says his face looked like an angel. I don't know what that means. Maybe he had a beautiful smile on his face. Maybe he was just glowing. He was radiant. But he stood there before these men and he tried to share with them his faith. Then they grabbed him when he was done. They threw him outside. They began picking up rocks. Have you ever been hit with a rock? It's kind of like a hard ball. And they began pelting him with them. They gnashed their teeth. They covered him with his gnashed their teeth. And it says his face shone as he looked to heaven. And he said, Father, do not credit this against them. You're telling me that you can become such a mature Christian that while stones are hitting you in the face, you can put your hate down and say, Father, forgive them. No, I'm sorry, can't do that. That is not humanly possible. Nor is it humanly possible for you to ever become really self-controlled over the flesh or anything else. It's only possible with the Holy Spirit. And He can do that in your life starting as soon as you decide to believe. As soon as you just decide to start, okay, this is what I'm doing, or this is my Jordan River today. This instant, this situation, my roommate who knows we need to be in church on time, I don't like to be late, and they're late tonight. We have talked about this. This is an issue in our relationship. And they come out in the living room, and you're sitting on the couch. And they look at you, and you look up and say, oh, are you ready? And they go, well, almost. Oh, I'm really sorry that I'm keeping you. Oh, don't worry about it. It's all right. You just make sure you're ready, and I'm ready to go when you'd like to go. Do you know how much power that takes to respond like that? Or am I talking to chimps here? Do you understand what kind of power it takes to just let the flesh go and just graciously respond? It takes power. And you know what? It's really possible. It's not a dream. It's not some pipe dream. It's not some, you know, something I concocted in my mind. It's the Scripture. It's what the Word of God says that God intended for us to have. This is what, you know, have you ever looked at the Lord Jesus' life? I'm always boggled by His life. The Pharisees hate Him. The Sadducees hate Him. Everybody's trying to kill Him. Nobody believes in Him. You ever felt like people don't believe in you? You ever felt like you've had a Judas in your life? Jesus did. He understood the emotions, the human emotions of being betrayed. He understood the human emotions of feeling unwanted and rejected. He went to the Father. He came back out the next day, was rejected again to that very person. He looked lovingly, tenderly, and he responded with the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but by everything that's within my soul, I want that in my life every day. I want that all the time. And my family. And my you see, with your family at home, wherever you're at private, it's always the toughest. Because here, there's that extra boost of, everybody's watching me. Hi, how are you? Let's just praise God together tonight. But it's, you see, it's the day in, day out things that take the heroic, extraordinary power of the Holy Spirit. To respond to life rather than to react to it. To suppress the flesh. It's always going to worsen. Your flesh is not going to get better. Can I tell you this right now, and I'll end with this? No matter how much you grow in the Lord, your flesh is going to get worse. I've had worse thoughts, worse dreams in my life now, 17 years after following Christ, than when I was 19 and started following Him. You know why? Because the flesh gets worse. It becomes more decadent. You don't grow it. You don't make it nicer, better, tamer. Our only hope is the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you, it's just been such a comfort to me to know that He's in me, He comforts me, He lives through me, He's the power in my being, and that nothing comes in my day-to-day that God can't handle. I'm not going to worry about handling it. God can handle it. He can handle it. And I'm just going to be carried along, as the Scripture says, with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to react the way He wants me to in faith and trust that at that moment, He is going to be boom right there behind my punch. It's going to be a knockout blow. When I have to throw it, when I have to step out, when I have to rejoice, He's not going to abandon me. He's not going to leave me, and I'm going to look back and go, Jesus, where did you go? Jesus, this is not nice. Where are you? And that's what He promises. To never back away, to never leave you, to never forsake you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You tonight so much for Your Word. I thank You, God, for the power of Your Holy Spirit. And I ask, Lord, I just feel like I'm not even able to quite do this justice, Lord. I know that Your Holy Spirit is able to take these things to our heart and move in them. I know, Lord, that there's a lot of us who think that there's a lot of things in our life that maybe I don't quite understand. Maybe, Mark, this is too simplistic. You know, Lord, this is the same thing we thought about salvation. How can it be this simple? How in the world can I just be forgiven by just believing? How in the world can I get eternal life? How in the world can I become righteous by just believing? Well, this is the same thing, Lord. How in the world can we experience the power of God in our life by just believing? How can I become a more dynamic, God-like parent by just believing? Well, Lord, it's the truth. I didn't say it. You said it. And I just ask You, God, that You'd help us to begin relaxing, begin resting in what Your Word says, and acting upon it. When we get to the Jordan rivers of our life, the Goliaths of our life, help us, Lord, to remember, wait a minute, this is God's fight. This is God's battle. And to respond, trusting. You're right there, Lord, with the love, the patience, the courage, the strength, the peace that I need for this specific situation. Help us, Lord, help me. Oh, I want You so much more to be seen in my life. I want You, Lord, to be in me and without me and oozing out of me in every crevice, every crack. I want to be filled up with You to the fullest measure. Help us, Lord. Help us to remember that we must be filled up with Your Word. Help us, Lord, to walk in the Spirit. Thereby, the deeds of the flesh will have no part of us. Give us understanding, Lord. I know there are going to be questions. I know there are going to be wonderings. Pray that we just simply go home and believe and obey and trust You and believe You. In Jesus' name, amen.